Well, I'm really glad to see a lot of my friends here this week from my community. It's a special thing to get to share and worship with them. And I am pretty excited about lunch. I've already pre-tested some of the samosas this morning. We got a tasty lunch ahead of us. A few weeks ago, Heidi, Aaron, and I sat around our living room with a group of spring breakers. They had opted for an alternative to the typical vacations other teens were taking during their week off. During their Clarkston experience, they were volunteering at the after-school program with Allie and I. Conversations about life with refugee neighbors and our experiment with intentional community were interrupted with questions about homework and arguments about who's out in Foursquare. So they asked us to sit down with them and share a bit more at length about our life in Clarkston. As we relaxed and prepared to answer big questions about life, vocation, and community, I could feel their bottled up energy as they sat quietly on our couches. Their group leader explained that they were high school students who were part of a human rights group that met every week at 7 a.m. That's teenagers getting to school one morning a week at 7 in the morning. I have to admit, at this point, I'm already thinking these kids are really cool. These are passionate people. They have something to say. So I forget to let them ask a question and blurt out my first question. What are you passionate about? Medina, a young Muslim teen, is quick to respond. She talks about how their group has been influential in organizing a campaign at their high school to educate and empower students on how to stop violence against women. Once the ball was rolling, everyone chimed in and offered thoughtful reflections of how they and others contributed to this campaign and other social movements on campus and in their city. Without much prompting, they began to talk about their experience in Clarkston as well. After school is awesome. I love the kids. Clarkston is so fun. I wish I could do this every day. Finally, we did get around to letting them ask some questions of their own. Heidi and Aaron shared about living in intentional community and their personal journey to living in Clarkston, fielding a few of the questions they had thrown out that got us seriously contemplating our life and existence. One of their questions was quietly working on my spirit while I listened to the thoughts of my two friends. The question is one that everyone asks. No question could be more typical. I pause, like I do sometimes, before I start in on one of my stories, or heaven help us, I start preaching, like now. Aaron and Heidi got comfortable, having heard me answer the question many times before to groups much like this one. So, why? Why do you choose this life? Life in community, life with refugee neighbors, life in a neighborhood that struggles with violence and poverty, life committed to worship and prayer. Why this place, this work, these people, this life? I think my stories change a bit whenever I tell them, which probably justifies the eye rolls and deep breaths on Heidi's and Aaron's part. But there's part of my answer that doesn't seem to change. It's the part that answers all the little questions in this big question. I love it. It's my best answer. I love this life. I love eating steaming piles of rice with pork, bamboo shoots and eggs on a cold winter morning with my friend Bob Lute after he gets off his night shift. I love drawing pictures of life experiences with people my grandparents' age as we practice English through sharing our stories. I love kicking up dust on the worn-down Thai soccer court, trying to earn my spot on the team by sacrificing a few IQ points for every header I can get. As veteran players do bicycle kicks around me and spike the ball over the net with their feet. I love learning to cook goat kebabs with my Afghani friend, or learning to eat spongy injera bread with my hands from my Ethiopian and Eritrean neighbors, or learning to make yogurt with my Nepali friends. I love creating skits at Peace Playground to make our peace principles come to life through the imaginations of my neighbors. I love closing my eyes on Tuesday nights to hear Heidi and Aaron harmonizing during our community worship. And I really, really love talking about whales with Sae Kuti, who is a first grader, but knows more about whales than Herman Melville. Jesus says something like, "Kids are awesome, and if you want to join the party, be more like them." And what could be more true? On the dusty playing grounds of competitive marbles, the Titans of Willow Branch Apartments play for keeps. The skills of 5 to 10-year-olds who have mastered the worn path where they have dug small holes in the red Georgia clay, each with specific purpose in the rules of their unique game, will blow your mind. I love to watch it. I especially love to watch my little buddy Royal, who is in kindergarten. He scuttles around pinpointing other players' marbles with uncanny precision. And I must confess that when I watch him knock out another player's marble from 20 feet away and set up for a play toward the hole to win the game, I'm more than a little intimidated to try my clumsy hand at their beautiful game. So when I finally mustered the courage to ask if I could play, I was a little embarrassed to be reminded that I don't have any marbles. Abhishek, a rambunctious fifth grader, reached into his pocket and pulled out a dingy green marble. With a quick shine in his shirt tail, he tossed it my way. The impact of this gesture was not the ridiculous way most kids in my neighborhood covet a 25-cent sack of marbles more than a bag full of diamonds, and that one of these precious gems had been shared with me. What felt so good was being included in the fun. For Abhishek, to share his joy with me was the ultimate act of compassion. Out of joy, compassion overflows. Over the past few years, I have shared some tense moments with teenage guys in probation offices. When everything seems to be going wrong, I have shared the weight and at times the consequences of each mistake. Whether quietly creating space for a friend to cry, working on community service hours, or getting cursed out by someone I really care about, I have needed compassion. I continue to find compassion, not by some great search within my spirit or triumph of my will, but naturally flowing out of the part of me being transformed by joy. A while back, I was introduced to a Kurini teen who had landed himself on probation for bringing a knife to school. The public defender who was representing him in his court case gave me a call in hopes that I could reach out to him since he lived in the Clarkston community. So I knocked on his door, introduced myself, and offered to give him a ride to the alternative school where he had been assigned after being expelled from Clarkston High. I picked him up bright and early the next morning at 7 a.m. And over the next few weeks, we got to know each other during our 15-minute car rides to and from school. He was easy to like with his lighthearted nature, his honesty and kindness expressed in his quirky smile, With little interest in sports, arts, or academics, his favorite thing was to hang out with friends. And he could make friends with anyone. Unfortunately, he had made some friends who were causing trouble in our neighborhood. Probation meetings got tougher and more tense as he struggled to stay away from the old gang and old habits. Usually, with tears in his eyes, he would say he wanted to change and he would try harder. But the probation officer would respond by listing off the typical threats and consequences. And he would sit quietly, guilty tears staining his cheeks. Over months of car rides, study sessions at my apartment, and Chick-fil-A milkshakes, I saw a genuine desire in him for change, and still the lack of discipline to follow through on our plans. We continued to sit through emotional probation meetings, and we continued to share laughs, conversation about life, confession about past mistakes, and honest talk about concrete steps towards change. In our meetings with the probation officer, I began asking my friend about his love and respect for his mother, his gift for making friends, and the things that he enjoys and loves. He shared more during the visits, and eventually that quirky smile made an appearance. Soon the probation officer seemed to begin any criticism with, "I like you," and "You're such a great guy." It's been a roller coaster, and a lot more mistakes have been made. What makes it all the more heartbreaking is everyone now sees what an outstanding person he could be, and they're pulling for him. There will be more chances, more mistakes, but the joy of friendship will continue to inspire in us compassion for one another. As I finish writing this reflection, my mind is drawn back to the question, why? Why this place, this work, these people, this life? I sit on my back patio watching kids play soccer, families work in their gardens, neighbors relaxing with each other as the cool evening fades with warmth of the spring sunlight. Why? I love it. This life brings me joy. Joy to sit and catch up with my neighbor whose mother has recently suffered a stroke. Joy to plant tomatoes and cucumbers, zinnias and sunflowers with teenagers at one of our local schools. Joy to practice painting sunsets with watercolors at our after-school program. Joy to watch teens perform special dances as the rhythm of the Karen drum sounds in a new beginning. Joy to learn a new song in an unfamiliar language expressing a common prayer. Joy, all joy. Because through the joy that I receive through this place, this work, these people, this life, I am being redeemed. Next week, we will begin wrestling with the wisdom of 1 John. And as I dot the last period, I am reminded of the words from John's introduction. We are writing these things so our joy may be complete. If you are searching for joy, if you long to love life, if you need a marble to get in the game, there's a community that is throwing a great party, a new world that is breaking the old joyless one wide open. Join us as we share this journey on a path toward eternal joy. Let's sing.